And by the time we get to Cairo, Illinois, they're all mixing together. And as we proceed in the course, we will talk about how all of these cultural elements from all of these different places and peoples mix together to form the Greco-Roman culture of late antiquity, which is the immediate parent of Western culture as we know it. In the process, we'll be taking a look at a whole lot of familiar stories, some from the Bible, Adam and Eve, the Gospel accounts, some from Greece, from Homer, and from the histories, some from drama, some from Rome. But in taking a look at those stories, our primary focus won't be on their narrative interest and their charm, great though that is in many cases. Instead, it'll be on what they contribute towards the genesis of Western values and the development of the distinctive cast of mind, the intellectual toolkit, which has been characteristic of Western civilization from the very outset. Each of the lectures that follow, as is this one, is meant to be self-contained to the extent that it's comprehensible and understandable in its own right. But I will also be making a systematic effort all the way through to show the connection between all of the lectures and between all of the topics that we discuss. There'll be 14 lectures total. Here's the introduction right now, of course. We're going to talk about the Hebrews and the Hebrew Bible. In two after that, we'll devote 6 to the Greeks. Big contributions from the Greeks, systematic rationality, among other things. We'll devote 2 close range to the Romans, 2 to the Christian Bible, and then we'll try in lecture number 14 to wrap it all up and see what we're left with. Before we move on, though, we've got to address an important and fundamental question. And it's a question that's been asked in society at large a lot. You've no doubt heard it being asked. Why study Western culture when there are so many other fabulous cultures out there that we could be studying? We could be studying the Mayans. We could be studying the Inca. We could be studying the Hausa. We could be studying China. We could be studying Japan. There's a whole slew of cultures out there, and they're all valuable, and they all represent successful means of interacting with the world. Why the West? Well, first of all, sometimes you got to look in the mirror just to see what's there. And in some profound sense, Western culture, influenced as it has been to its great benefit by surrounding cultures and cultures with which it interacted, all kinds of cultures, Western culture, nevertheless, is the one in which we have been raised, in which we find ourselves. It's where we come from. And even in the process of changing it to reflect changing conditions, to make it more inclusive, it's still our starting point. It's still ground zero for us. It's still where we find ourselves. It provides for us the basis on which to change in whatever direction we want. Furthermore, despite the fact that the works and cultures that we're going to be looking at are at a minimum 1,400 or 1,500 years old, they have survived for 60 generations or more, not as cherished peculiar artifacts, but precisely because they have had an enduring effect and have provided enduring modes of explanation and exploration for questions which are as influential now as they have ever been. What kind of questions? Well, here's the biggest one. This Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian novelist of the 19th century, came to think of after having written War and Peace and Anna Karenina as the most important question of all. How should we live?